Praise the Lord. He's still wonderful and kind. Let's get into the Word of God. Amen. This morning and see what God wants to share. Thank you, Cheryl, and for leading us in worship and song, and Gav for doing our best to handle all the technical equipment. All right, we're about ready for the Word of God. Today, we want to turn to Acts, also called the Acts of the Apostles, or the Acts of the Holy Spirit through the Apostles, which may be even a more correct way of saying it. Acts chapter 16. There's a very familiar passage in this chapter, and that's not the main verses of our text today, but we will mention that passage because it is part of the context. Acts chapter 16, we want to read in your hearing verses 1 through 10. Acts chapter 16, we'll be reading from the New King James Version, verses 1 through 10. Amen. When you find that it reads, "Then he came to Derbe and Lystra, and behold, a certain disciple was there named Timothy, the son of a certain Jewish woman who believed, but his father was Greek. He was well spoken of by the brethren who were at Lystra and Iconium. Paul wanted to have him go on with him, and he took him and circumcised him because of the Jews who were in the region, for they all knew that his father was Greek. And as they went through the cities, they delivered to them the decrees to keep, which were determined by the apostles and elders at Jerusalem. So the churches were strengthened in faith and increased in number daily. Now when they had gone through Phrygia and the region of Galatia, they were forbidden by the Holy Spirit to preach the word in Asia. After they had come to Mysia, they tried to go into Bethania, but the Spirit did not permit them. So passing by Mysia, they came down to Troas. And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. A man of Macedonia stood and pleaded with him, saying, 'Come over to Macedonia and help us.' Now, after he had seen the vision, immediately we sought to go to Macedonia, concluding that the Lord had called us to preach the gospel to them." Amen. Now, I hope you leave your Bibles open. We're going to refer back to a lot of those things a little later on. Amen. So just hold on and kind of keep your Bible in place. All right. Once I get that right, we'll be out. Okay, thank you. All right, this morning I want to talk from the subject about Bethsaida being clutch. That's the title. About Bethsaida being clutch. One more time. About Bethsaida being clutch. Amen. And that's what the sermon is about Bethsaida being clutch. Now I'm not talking about clutch like those of you who may have at some point in time had a manual transmission and had to use the clutch in order to switch gears, or some of you truck driver. Well, that's not what we're talking about this morning when we say clutch. We're not talking about clutch as if you held something like a purse and held it tightly. That's not what we're talking about being clutched. Let me see if I can explain to you what I mean when I say we're talking about Bethsaida being clutched. A few days ago, I was going through various YouTube presentations concerning basketball, since Gabriella plays basketball and she plays it quite well, and I was going through there because at the time it was we practiced quite often so she can develop a skill level continuously and even be better than she is now. So I go to YouTube channels that have to do with basketball and training and drills and ideas. And as I was going through that, one day I came across a player that was at that point in time ranked the number one player in high school and the number one recruit that everybody wanted. And her name was Paige Beckers. Paige Beckers was at that time in high school, and she was the number one recruit that everybody wanted. And she decided to go and play for the women's program at UConn, which is probably one of the top, if not the top, women's college program. And and UConn is my favorite team also. So that made me pay more attention to it. Now, I was looking at some articles maybe like a couple of weeks ago a week ago, and I came across an article that was explaining why Paige Beckers was clutch. It said that she was clutch because she was at her best when her team needed her most. Now listen to me, y'all. Yeah. That's what I mean by clutch. It said that she was at her best when her team needed her most. If you are a clutch player, it means that you are at your best when your team need you most. Another one, those of you that may not be into the women's basketball, but if you look at the NBA, there is a player that's becoming one what you call a clutch player. Probably right now the most clutch player in the NBA, and that's Damian Lillard. Damian Lillard, sometimes you can give him the ball. If you need 3 points or 2 points, you can put the ball in Damian Lillard's hand, and if you got 3 seconds or 5 seconds, he can hit a three almost every time because he's clutch. Now listen to me. So I thought about that. I thought about that idea when I was reading about Paige being clutch. And I said to myself, that's what the believers, the followers of Christ, need to be, is clutch. We need to be at our best when we are needed most. We need to be at our best when our community needs us most. We need to be at our best when our families need us most. We need to be at our best when our spouse, our children need us most. If we are followers of Christ, we need to be at our best when our country needs us most. We need to be, as followers of Christ, as Christ Church, we need to be at our best when whatever context that we are active in needs us most. So my and more importantly, what I'm feeling this morning is God's challenge to us this morning. Bethsaida, for 2021, I want you to be at your best for those that need you most. Bethsaida, I want you to be clutch. I don't know if a church has ever been clutched before. But it's always somebody need to get it started. We want to be clutched. We want to be the church that is at our best with our community, with our congregation, with our city, with our country, with whatever context we're in needs us most. So what I'm going to do, in my main time, because I'm covering really about 30-some verses in Acts, so I can't be very thorough, but I want to give you kind of an overview of how we can be our best for those that need us most. Firstly, if we are to be at our best for those that need us most, I'm going to use about six words. So you can write the six words down and meditate on these six words when you get home and listen. You may want to listen to this. If we are to be at our best, we must be spiritual. Spiritual. You know, the whole book of Acts is talking about the Holy Spirit being active in the body of Christ and what the Holy Spirit enables and empowers the body of Christ to do. That's what the whole book of Acts is about. Starting especially in chapter 2, where we see the Holy Spirit coming and the church is born and say that they are all filled with the Holy Spirit. Now I told you, every believer has the Holy Spirit. But not every believer is filled with the Holy Spirit. It's a difference between the Holy Spirit, you having the Holy Spirit and it indwelling you, and being filled with the Holy Spirit. Having the Holy Spirit means the Holy Spirit is a resident. He's in you, like you're a resident in your home. Having the Holy Spirit says the Holy Spirit is a resident in you as a believer. But when you are filled with the Holy Spirit, not only is the Holy Spirit a resident, but the Holy Spirit is also president. That's the difference. See, a whole lot of us have the Holy Spirit as resident, but is he president? Is he the one that dictates how you live your life? Where you go and how you do things. In this passage right here, look down at verse 6 and 7, and you can kind of see, 6 and 7, and I think you'll be able to see what I'm talking about, him being president. And that's when you're filled with the Spirit, you are spiritual. When I say spiritual, when I'm talking about spiritual people or a spiritual church, I'm talking about a people or a church where the Holy Spirit is not just resident, but president of their life. This was, and we're going to see this in verses 6 and 7, excuse me. Now, when they had gone through Phrygia and the region of Galatia, they were forbidden, y'all see that, by the Holy Spirit to preach the word in Asia. So they wanted to preach the word in Asia, and really this is like modern day Turkey. They wanted to go to modern day Turkey, but they didn't go. Why didn't they go? Because the Holy Spirit forbid. The Holy Spirit said, don't go there. The Holy Spirit closed the door. Okay? So they said, okay, let's try a different direction. After that, after they had come to Mysia, they tried to go to Bithynia, but the Spirit did not permit them. So the two times the Holy Spirit, they wanted places they thought they were going to go. They were just trying to do God's will, but each place they went, the Holy Spirit forbade them, closed the door, said, no, I don't want you to go there. Now, that does not mean that those places did not need the gospel. It may have meant that God was going to send somebody else there. Because if you remember, before all this started, if you go back to verse 15, go back to chapter 15, read chapter 15 too. Chapter 15 the church decided on some things, and at the end of chapter 15, there was a conflict in the church between Paul and Barnabas about John, because this is Paul's second missionary journey. A missionary journey when Paul left and went and discipled people and got people saved and started churches in cities. Same like Paul was here today. He may start a church in Mahan. Then he may go start a church in Groesbeck. And then he may go start a church in Teague. Well, that's what Paul did. And these churches became places that he went back to and taught and discipled and trained up the people. And that would be one missionary journey. Then if he went over maybe to Waco, he'd go to different places around Waco. And that might be a whole different journey. So now, he went on the first missionary journey, and they came back, and that's chapter 15, because they had some questions after the journey one was over. So they came back, and all the elders and apostles got together because they were the authorities. And they decided, okay, and they solved all those issues that they were having. So at the end of that meeting, and the issue was solved, there was some friction. Because on that first missionary journey, John had went with Paul and Barnabas, but when time got rough, John said, excuse me. Because it's getting rough, folks getting stoned and beat up and whipped. He said, and John went back home. So now, they're ready to start their second missionary journey, a trip. They're going to do the same thing, set up churches to disciple people and teach people. And Paul said, Paul's ready to go. And John and Barnabas said, all right, let me go get John. Paul said, go get who? You tell me the same John that ran and went back home in the thick of things? No, I can't use him because I can't depend on him. I can't depend on him. But then Barnabas said, hey, now, Barnabas said, I got to have him. Because Paul and Barnabas had a different philosophy. Neither one of them was wrong, but they were just different. Paul said, I need somebody that I can depend on, that I can depend on during our journey. But now, Barnabas thought differently. Barnabas was thinking, not what the mission needed, but what John needed. Barnabas said, John needs this experience, because if he can grow from this experience, he can be better from this experience. So I want him to go. Paul said, no, I can't depend on him. So I don't want him. And then Barnabas said, I want him to go, because he can learn from this. Just like when nobody wanted you, and I brought you in, and I developed you, that's the same thing I want to do with Barnabas. But they couldn't come to agreement, and they split with each other. So now they began in 16, and they're on their second missionary journey, and they're trying to find which way God wants them to go. And finally, the Holy Spirit forbade two things. Said, no, don't go there. And then they said, okay. They really didn't know where to go, but now look at the verses. Verse 9. So passing by Mysia, verse 8 says, so passing by Mysia, they came down to Troas. And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. A man of Macedonia stood and pleaded with him and said, come over to Macedonia and help us. So I think the reason why that Paul and Silas, because Silas was his new partner, his new mentee, the reason why he didn't let them go to the other two places, because there may have been somebody else to win. They needed to win too, but it may have been Barnabas and John that went to other places. So he fits the mission with the people he sends on the mission. And he fit Paul because he gave Paul his dream of Macedonia. And the people come and say, come with us. Come help us. Because that's where Paul and Silas were needed the most. Y'all get that? That's where Paul and Silas were needed the most. So I said, when you're clutch, you're at your best when your team needs you most. So now Paul and Silas realize where they're needed the most. So it's their challenge to be at their best where they're needed the most. Y'all with me so far? So they were spiritual in their leading and being guiding what they where they were needed most. Think about it. So be filled with the Spirit, because the Spirit is a mighty good. You know, we sang that song. He's a mighty good leader, and let the Spirit lead you. But do we just sing that song, or do we actually let the Spirit lead us? Let the Spirit lead you. Sometimes, my brothers and sisters, that's why. Well, I'll do that on another one. But that's the first word I want you to think about. Spirit. Just keep spiritual in your mind. Secondly, if you're going to be the best when your community or whatever your context may be needs you most, not only must you be spiritual, but the second word is biblical. You got to know the Bible. You got to study the Bible, understand the Bible. Notice in verse 1, he went and got Timothy. And how, and you, when you read those first four verses, especially the first two or three, you see how Timothy was admired by all around him and all the other believers, how they admired Timothy so much. And I believe the reason why they admired Timothy so much, if you go back and read, I think it's in 2 Timothy, it talks about that Timothy had known the scriptures from his childhood because of his grandmother and mother teaching him the scriptures. So he knew the Bible, and also it talks about the apostles' decree in I think verse 3 and 4. And that's what the apostles taught. So you got the teaching of the apostles that became the New Testament and the scriptures that Timothy knew well, which was the Old Testament. So you see, there was the Bible as they went on their journey to disciple, to help others, to set up churches, teach churches. You have to know the Bible if you're going to do God's will. We cannot be at our best if we don't study the Word of God. I'm thankful for Sister Julie and her taking us through the whole Bible. I think they started in Genesis, and I think in Ezra, maybe Nehemiah now, but taking through the whole Bible verse by verse. Because sometimes we'll just go to the easy part. But amen. Now, Sister Judy took us to some Leviticus. We didn't, you know, Leviticus had a bunch of stuff in it. We couldn't really get, but she made us go through it. We would have rather skipped Leviticus. But you know, we had to go through it because we had to go through the whole Bible. So we appreciate that through that class and that we were able to learn the Bible. Then we got a men's Bible study, got a women's Bible study that deal with specific topics, that gender-based, to improve, make a woman a better woman, make a man a better man. And then we got Sunday school that gives us a variety of things. And then you got the sermon that the pastor preaches or others come and preach. So, but you still, even with all that, I still encourage you and challenge you to study the Bible on your own. Because one part of maturity, when you get a certain level of maturity, it's just not mama feeding you, you and daddy feeding you, you got to feed yourself. And then you got to check out some of the things that somebody else is teaching you. So they were biblical. They were spiritual. If we have to be at our best, my Bethsaida, if we have to be clutch, we have to be spiritual, led by the Spirit, filled with the Spirit. Spirit got to be president, and we got to be biblical. We got to have a knowledge, a sound knowledge of God's holy word. Thirdly, and y'all might not see this one in here, but it's in here, and this is especially for our day and time. We may not have been able to say this back years and years ago when some of you first became members, maybe when I first became a believer. We have to be, if we're going to be at our best, we have to be technological. We have to be technological. In our world, we have to be technological. Technological. That's the right way to say it. We have to be technological. All right. In other words, you got to be able to use technology. Computers, anything that's electronic. We have to do websites. Remember now, Paul and Silas, and when Paul and Barnabas went on their first journey, when Paul and Silas went on the second missionary journey, they went around, they went to places that they hadn't gone before to teach what people hadn't heard before. Well, they did that on horses and on feet and on different kinds of beasts. They carried the burden and they rode. But in our day and time, to reach the people that are in different places, we don't have to go on horses. We don't have to go in cars. But the way that most people are reached in our day and time is through technology and through technological devices, whether it's computers or apps or websites or YouTube or all the other things that y'all have where y'all can spread the news. Because, amen, ever since I never imagined that somebody would actually be listening to Bethsaida from South Africa. But they're on the website. It'll tell us when we have our podcast where everybody, because we got people in South Africa and we got people in Europe and we got people in Singapore. We got our people all around the world because we use technology. So I appreciate, and we won't have to use, and in order to be, current and to reach people, because that's where all the young people at. Now, one of these, we got to have some technological, sense, because if it's just for us, the older ones, doing it the old way, one day we're going to pass off. What is the younger church coming up? So we got to begin to become a church that technologically advanced so we can reach people, amen, through websites, through different social media and radio and TV. Where would we have been during the pandemic without that? If we didn't know, if we didn't have an app. Now, we had an app before the pandemic. Because God just gave me some of the leadership team that agreed with it, that we needed the app. Now, back then, they may not have known. I don't know why the pastor wanted this app thing. I don't know why he wanted it. Brother Faye voted against it, out of there. But he just kidding that we would bring him along, because we're going to kick him out of the room for it. Amen. But now, that was like a year or so before the pandemic, but we saw when the pandemic came, we were able to shift in a week. Well, some churches, it took a while for them to get online, but we was already the next Sunday able to go online, and you didn't even have to come to church to give unless you wanted to. You could have gave over the app. And now not only do we have the app, we have the website, and pretty soon, probably next month, you'll be able to just go to that website, and on Sunday morning when we're in the building, I'm not sure if we can be able to do it out here, we'll see what we can do, but especially when we're in the building, and you'll be able to see the service on the website live, if everything works out. We need that technological advance to be where people, that's how we do our missionary journey. We journey electronically to different places. Now, that doesn't mean we eliminate all the other ways we reach people, but that's one important way that we reach people today, technologically. All right, so we covered it now. So the three words, spiritual, biblical, and technological. Number four, we talked about this, number four, prayerful. If we are to be at our best, we have to be prayerful. How many times have we talked about this recently? Ever since the beginning, ever since we had our prayer initiative.
Look here.
Look at these verses. Look at verse 13. And this is talking about Paul and Silas. Verse 13. And on the Sabbath day, we went out of the city to the riverside where prayer, y'all see that? Where prayer was customly made. Anyway, Paul and Silas and those with him, they were going where folk were praying at. Cause they wanted to, they were, prayer was their custom. They liked to get around folk praying folk. And if you want somebody, amen, the ones that can be at their best when they're needed the most, they're usually the people, men and women of prayer. Cause God, through their prayers, bring them to their best. So, and they went out and they met Lydia, but they were going, they met Lydia where custom, it was customary for a prayer to be made. That's in verse 13. Now look it down in verse 16. This is after they, got out of, this is not the same prayer meeting, but now it happened. As they went to prayer, maybe they were going to the same place, but it was on the way. As they went to prayer, y'all see that? They're above because of prayer. They were on their way to prayer. Then a certain slave girl who, I'm going to break it down, a certain slave girl that was possessed with a demon, and she kept saying, Paul, she kept saying to Paul and Silas and cried out, saying, the men are the servants of the Most High God. Now what she was saying was true, but because of her reputation, it was connecting Paul and Silas with the witchcraft stuff that she was doing. So Paul cast the demon out of her. And because she was making money, she was a fortune teller, making money for the man that controlled her. When she lost her ability, the demon came out of her because the demon was the one that the fortune was coming. You got to be careful when you're going to these red hand people. You don't have the red hand sign. Don't be going to them red hand people. Because if they're telling you to, if they're really telling your fortune, it may not be coming from God. I didn't want to share that with you. They carried the demon out of her. And the man got upset because now they couldn't make no money off of her. And they took Paul out to the magistrates and they were beat him and put in jail. Now that's probably, I think God was in that. God said now, yeah, I can see God said, you know, John and my boy, so Barnabas, you keep developing John. But, cause he ain't ready for what Paul and Silas gonna see. If he said he sure won't turn around. So I let them go an easier place. Well, maybe it ain't the rough. I'm gonna send y'all to the rough spot. Cause you don't get beaten, you don't get thrown in jail. And you find yourself in shackles, chains, beaten, thrown in jail, and in jail. Now, most of the time, when we read about them being in jail and praying at midnight, somehow I think it comes to our mind that they started praying at midnight. But the Bible doesn't say that they started praying at midnight. The Bible says they were praying at midnight. They didn't say they started. They said they were already praying. And as they were praying and giving praise to God, at midnight, God shook up things. I'm trying to say, if you want to be a powerful, and you want to be at your best when people need you most, you got to, we have to be a church. And as individuals, we have to be believers who are prayerful. Cause that prayer, when you're prayerful, and God said at midnight, you know what midnight? Midnight got to do with change. Cause you changing from the previous day to a new day. You changing from your past to your future. Amen. At midnight, they were already praying, and all of a sudden, God shook up things at midnight, so they went in the new day, and God is going to do something to make their new day a better day. They had to be prayerful. They were praying. And when they got shook up the jail. Prayer, y'all see that? Don't miss that. Spiritual, biblical, technological, and prayerful. Well, we all know the story. One thing I do want to point out is say, you know, a lot of times when we're preaching is good, we'll kind of work with it a little bit. And we'll say, you know, Paul prayed and Silas sung. But that's not what the Bible say. The Bible says Paul and Silas prayed. Sometimes you need a prayer partner. Sometimes you need somebody to pray with you. Amen. Especially when you're going to midnight, because midnight, that's the darkest part of the night. Sometimes when you're approaching midnight in your life, or when you're experiencing midnight in your life, you need a prayer partner. You need somebody that not somebody going to pray for you, but somebody going to pray with you. And then after you leave praying with you, they're going to be praying for you when you not know that they're praying for you. I like that song, somebody pray for me. Had me on the mind. You ever heard that? Pray for me. Had me on the, I'm so glad that they prayed for me. And at the midnight hour, God came in and shook up the jail. And he said the prisoners were listening to them saying. Now, the prisoners needed them so much that when they needed what Paul and Silas was talking about so much that even when the cells came open, they needed the praise and the prayer so much that even when the cells came open, they said, oh, no, we're not going nowhere. This is too good to leave. I don't understand, y'all. I don't understand that sometimes. Amen. Here they are, prisoners, and they get it. They get us to hear the prayer and the praise, and they don't want to leave. And then sometimes we, who are followers of Christ and supposed to be spiritual people, amen, we're ready to leave soon we get here. Okay, that's enough of that. I just want to throw that in. Hey, the prisoner said, it's midnight. And they, you know, so I mean, it's late at night. And they ain't even worried about leaving. They said, we're going to stay because this is good. The saying, the praying stuff, what they're talking about, it's good. We ain't going nowhere. And but the jailer on our side realized that the prisoners had to escape. He was going to pay with his life. So he was about to, rather than letting them kill, he was going to kill himself. He was about to take his own life. But thank God that Paul and Silas was at their best when the jailer needed them the most. And they said, sir, don't do yourself no harm. We're all still here. We ain't went nowhere. Because church is good. We're all still here. Don't do yourself no harm. And then the jailer said, sir, because I think he was kind of listening in too. What must I do? I was kind of listening, y'all. I was listening in when y'all was saying and praying. What must I do to be saved? Now, he wasn't asking them, what must I do to be saved from the earthquake? Because the earthquake was already over. He wasn't asking them, what must I do to be saved from being killed? Because the prisoners, was still there. He was asking them, what must I do to have my soul saved? So not only must we be spiritual, biblical, technological, and prayerful, but then this happened. When the jailer needed them most, and they were at their best, they made a disciple. That's the fifth word, disciple. Disciple, they made a disciple, because they said, if you want to be a follower of Christ, if you want to be a disciple, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. I like that. Because a lot of times, we would thought he would put works with it. You got to give up this, you got to stop doing that. You got to go home, stop your lying, stop cheating, stop shooting dice, stop drinking, stop drugging, stop chasing women. That's what we would say sometimes when we don't know our Bible. But he said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Because if he would have just told the man what he needed to stop, the man didn't have the power to stop anyway. He needed Jesus to save him. If you had been telling the man to stop there, he said, hey, fella, what you need to do if you want to be saved? Rescue yourself. But then now, if you want to be saved, you want to be rescued, you believe on him and let him rescue you from all those destructive things and sinful things that you are doing in your life. He wasn't condoning this sin, but he was saying you can't get past the stuff you're doing wrong, which on your own, Christ has to help you. Made a disciple. And not only did the man get saved, see, that's a good thing, especially when you're a disciple, a leader of the home, a head of the house. He said, after the man got saved, the whole family got saved. Woo! Hallelujah. The whole family got disciples. The whole family became followers of Christ. The whole family became disciples. You got those five words? Spiritual, biblical, technological, prayerful, disciple. But I got one more word. One more word. In verse 34. Now, when he had brought them into the house, he set food before them, and he was just having believed in God with all his household. The last word is practical. He met after the jailer got saved. Now he's part of the church. And when you get part of the church, the jailer himself became clutch. And the jailer said, all right, yeah, I'm glad I'm saved, but now I got to get practical. Because Paul and Silas, number one, they need somewhere to stay. They need housing. Y'all with me so far? If we are to be at our best when the world needs us the most, sometimes you got to provide practical things. Housing. And then say they gave some food. Amen. Sometimes people need food. Sometimes they need a light bill or a water bill. Pay or help with this. And help with that. We have to also, if we are going to be at our best when the world needs us most, being willing, as the Lord blesses us, to take care of the practical needs of the needy. I said the needy, not the greedy. Yeah. So you got to have somebody to determine who's needy and who's greedy. That's why we got people in place that when there's a need, we can present that need to them, and it's their job, amen, to take care of the needy and get rid of the greedy. Well, I'm just saying it like it is. You got to have all, if we are to be at our best, if we are to be a best city, we are to be clutch and be at our best when the world needs us most. We got to have those six things. Go home and meditate on those six things. We got to be spiritual, spirit-led. We got to be biblical. We got to know the word of God. We got to be technological in our world because we have a very tech-savvy world. We got to be prayerful in all ways. We got to make disciples, and we got to meet people's practical needs. I think that's a special thing that God has given to Bethsaida, the ability to meet practical needs. We are about, now, you know, some churches, and we need these churches, some churches are really take a prominent role in social justice. And you'll see them protesting. You'll see them really trying to energize the voters and making a lot of political speeches. And I'm so glad we have those churches because sometimes we need them because we need to have a better government. And we need to have a government that honors God and makes people's lives where they can worship and do things free. So I'm glad and get justice and can kind of handle racial issues and things. We need churches that are prominent, take a prominent role in social justice. But they say, even though we're going to be supportive and we're going to do some social justice, that's not going to be our primary role. Our role, because of the people we have and the people I feel that God has given us and the kind of people we have, is social services. We're going to help other people do social justice because we need social justice. Lord knows why we need social justice. Lord knows we need people that voted and politically active and have the right people in office. But the people that we have are really, 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 really good at social services. We're really good at feeding people. Amen. Even when you come to Sunday school, we'll feed you. Amen. All we want to feed y'all now because we don't want y'all to catch nothing. We'll feed you. There's some people that came to Bethsaida, amen, started going to Sunday school. And you know, they were the size 8. They were the size 8 when they started coming to Sunday school and eating breakfast. I can't really tell you. It wouldn't be polite for me to tell you what size they are now. But I'm trying to say, we will feed you. If you come to Sunday school, you will get fed. Amen. Whatever you need, if we can meet a practical need, we will do it. Very few people we turn down. Very few people we turn down. And usually that's because it's just, we need them to do something to be effective. Amen. Sometimes we turn people down because they need a little bit. Hey, we don't mind giving you this, but we need to, you're going to be back in the same spot next month. If we're going to give you some training with it, how to use it is what we're going to give you. Now, baby said, hey, I don't want to train. We just can't keep wasting money. Y'all with me? I know this is kind of rough. I'm about in it. But I want us to be at our best when our world needs us most. I said last night when we were going through our budget, we tried to fix the budget where we can be at our best when the world needs us most. And I think the world needs us most now. Amen. That's why God put us here. Sometimes he may have closed the door to, but I'm glad when he opened the door. Amen. When he opened the door for us, where we can be a blessing. Right now, we had a prison. I think it's in Teague or Fairfield. One of them sent me a letter that said they need some stuff like soap and different things, but then we called the peoples and they said, well, we can't. Oh, they said they need Bibles and devotionals, like daily bread and things like that. But so we called the people and said, well, you can't bring them no like soap or nothing. They have to pay for that. They say, I don't understand that, but I kind of understand it. But they said, we can take Bibles and studies and Bible study, and they want reading glasses too. So we're going to try to do that. We're going to try to take them to reading glasses where they can read the Bible and to study. We wish we could put in some of that other toothpaste and stuff that they wanted. But the stuff they let us take, we're going to take because, amen, we haven't been able, especially with the pandemic, to get back into the prison ministry. But at least this is one way we can get the word to those that are in prison. So we're going to find out how I got the letter. We can go back and look at what place that was. And we'll make arrangements to buy a few Bibles and send some of those things, and maybe get some daily bread or some other things for guys to study the Bible and send it over to them. But they can't. So God's opened those doors for us. We always had those kind of doors. That's why we were able to get with the Central Food Bank and work with Central Food Bank. God opened those doors because God knows that Bethsaida is a social service. We're good at practical as far as social service and blessing our community. We got to be our best when people need us most. But you know, when a person needs you the mostest, they need Jesus. And that's why I'm going to close. Because I like that verse. Yes. In Romans chapter 5, verse 8, God commended his love toward us. While we were yet sinners, when we needed him the most, y'all don't hear me. God commended his love toward us that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. When we needed him the most, when we were sinners,
What did he do? He was at his best. He died for it. He allowed them to try to crucify him and died out on Calvary's cross and was buried. But 3 days later, he rose, and his resurrection was a receipt for us to say that the price has been paid for your sin. Salvation can be given to you now because Christ Jesus paid it all, and all to him we owe. Sin and left the crimson stain, but now we've been washed white than snow. When we needed him most, he was at his best. There is nobody as clutch as Jesus. Hallelujah. Nobody like him. I saw him here, I think Maxine was saying, so I searched all over. Couldn't find nobody. Anybody here with me? You were searching? Searched all over. Couldn't find nobody like him. I thought I had a friend like him, but when it got rough, they left me.
Yes, sir.
Amen. I searched all over. Couldn't find nobody like Jesus. Can't nobody love me like Jesus. Can't nobody forgive me like Jesus. Can't nobody walk with me like Jesus walked with me. Can't nobody put up with me like Jesus put up with me. Can't nobody open doors for me like Jesus opened doors for me. Can't nobody make ways for me like Jesus made ways for me. I searched all over. I couldn't find nobody. Nobody like Jesus. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. If you're out there, you're here in the parking lot, you don't know Jesus, I want to tell you the same thing that Paul and Silas told their jailer. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you can be saved. He'll rescue you for all the destructive stuff in your life.
Yes, he will.
He'll do it if you believe him.
Yes, he will.
And if you're in our radio podcast, the same thing. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you can be saved today. He'll begin to save. He'll save your soul. He'll make you right with God. And then he'll give you the Holy Spirit that'll help you to clean up and get rid of the things that are destructive in your life.
Yes, yes.
So I invite you to come. We pray for that you come. You're really going to give us a song. Hey, man, bring a song to that we have designated for this time. I tell a particular one, so she's going to choose one. She's ready. And as she comes with the song, be... Think about what we've been saying today. Church, we want to be clutch. Christians, we want to be clutch. We want to be at our best when our world needs us most. That's what we want to be. And if you're here, I want to tell you, if you don't know Christ, Christ was at his best because he knew how much you needed him. And he's available to you. Consider becoming a follower. As the song is being played.
Thank you. Lord, thank you so much. Thank you for those of you, thank you to those of you that joined our podcast gathering and those of you that are here present with us in front of the sanctuary on the parking lot. It's been a great time spending this worshiping God and listening to songs and listening to his word and just being able to see each of you. It's been great this morning and hearing from you. So we appreciate it. Amen. And continue to pray for us. If anybody would like a one of the booklets about last night business presentation with our new budget on it, we can get that to you. We have Might Inside. We have somebody bring one out to you if you need that. continue being prayer for one another. Thank you so much for joining us this morning. We're ready to dismiss this morning. Amen. If you're on the parking lot, after we've dismissed, Brother Favors will come around and receive your offering. And, amen. You can just put it through the window on the windshield wiper, however you want to give it to him. He'll get it from you. Let's pray. God, we thank you for what you've done this morning. Thank you for being so good again. We want to be clutch. We know there are those that need us. Whether it's to share the gospel with them so they can be saved, whether it's to meet a practical need, so many ways they could need us as a church and as individuals. God, we're just praying as we've looked into your word. Help us to be at our best when we need them the most. We know there are times when we're not at our best. Something is going on in our life. We get frustrated about something and we're not at our best. Lord, help us to be more consistently at our best, and especially in the time we come contact with those that are in need. God, we just ask you to make sure in those moments we're at our best so that we can be able to be helpful to them. Thank you for what you're doing in our church, what you're going to do this year in advance, and we are just going to wait until you amaze us with how good you are and how good you are through us to others. So we want to thank you in advance. Thank you. We pray that everybody make it safely home. Now to him that's able to keep us and present us without fault before our Father's throne. May the love of God, our Father, and the grace of Jesus Christ, our Lord, and the sweet communion of the Holy Spirit, our comfort to rest, rule, and abide with us now, henceforth, and forevermore. Let us say three times, amen, amen, and amen. Thank you so much. Have a great Sunday and have a great week.
You said what?
Get all the cheese.